I called you, we're explaining the distribution and abundance of these organisms. We're saying this species is prevalent here because it does this. Okay, it does X, Y. Or it preys on X or Y. It is successful here. We look, we see interactions between all sorts of populations. So we've established that each population is a different species. How these species interact, how some prey on each other, is going to be extremely important. So we're going to have predation, competition, and symbiosis that we're going to talk about today. With predation, you have a predator killing, eating a prey item. With competition, you have two species who are working against each other for the same resources, competing for resources. Competition. Symbiosis means you're living in tandem. You may or may not be living together. It could be parasitism. It could be mutualism. We'll explore those. So we're going to have predation, competition, and symbiosis. The key for all three of these is you're always going to try and get an advantage over something else.
You're trying to get an advantage over the other species. You're trying to cheat.
Every species is trying to find a different way to cheat the other species that they're competing with, or that they're preying upon, or they're in symbiosis with. They're always trying to get more. The ways that they change, that's evolution. It's all random, okay? So they don't get the choices, but they're finding these different ways through evolution, these different ways of going through the system, okay? So we have predation, very simple. One is preying upon another, all right? We've got pronghorn around here. Boy, are they fast, okay? Now, we can have a large cat eating a smaller, like, gazelle. Or we can have this gazelle preying upon the plants, okay? Just because you're an herbivore doesn't mean you're not a predator. You are, in fact, preying upon that plant life, okay? And that plant life is trying to defend itself against you. We'll come back to this. But every plant has a certain amount of toxicity, okay? If you're a specialist at eating a specific plant, you are you have adapted to be able to take higher levels of that specific toxin in your blood. You can deal with it, okay? If you're a generalists, right here, if you're a generalist, then you can't eat large portions of anything. That's why I'm always talking about moderation. Our body is designed to have a little bit of everything, not a whole lot of one thing. Okay? We evolved to eat multiple things in small amounts. We aren't specialists, we're generalists. We're as general as a generalist can get. We're omnivores. We'll eat anything. Omni means all. Eat whatever we can get. Okay? In competition, alright, well, you know what? We're going to go ahead and just watch our video, okay? Predation. Okay, and everybody see the tiny little wasp? Not really that tiny. Pretty large compared to a spider. We looked at this wasp in lab already today, right? Talked about it just a little bit. Second most painful sting in the animal kingdom.
Is there a wasp there or no?
Huh?
Is there a wasp on there?
No. Oh, no. We don't want one of those getting out and stinging any of us. See how it's flying in, trying to get around, trying to get an advantage on the tarantula. The tarantula is much bigger and can certainly kill that wasp if it gets the opportunity. The predator has to find a place where it has an advantage. It's trying to get around, trying to get behind it, all right? Already got a little bit of venom in it. That's why it's slowing down and kind of wobbling. Oh, not enough. It's facing that way right now. But it looks like the tarantula is ready to be drug away. So now we see the burrow. For a second we did. We saw the burrow of the wasp. Remember I said that the tarantula never actually dies?
That poison, that neurotoxin, just shuts it down so that it can't get away?
The wasp will drag this tarantula back to its nest and plant that egg on top. And when that larva comes around, it starts eating that tarantula while the tarantula is still alive. And it tries to maintain, keep that tarantula alive as long as it can. right? Keeps the internal organs working for the tarantula. It eats the soft parts, the muscle first. Then it will eat the organs, right? Why? Keeps it fresh. The tarantula is going to still have an immune system. It's still going to try and fight off diseases, okay? So the wasp is taking big advantage of that, okay? All right, we're going to go to the eagle. It's really predation. I mean, it is consumption. It is absolutely consumption. Okay, this should work. Hopefully it doesn't rain. Okay, can you guys hear that?
Yeah.
I'm going to mute it. Okay, so the hawk, this golden eagle, it stays near these melons, all right? Melon goats are much larger, weigh much more than this eagle. So, what does the eagle do? With its brittle bones, it simply cheats and pulls the bigger animal off.
Oh, damn.
Oh, God. It cheats. No, it's not the fittest. It's the one who's willing to go that other way. He's not playing by the rules. The rule would be for them to have a conflict on that smaller area where the goat has a great advantage. It's very good at keeping its grip, right? It's a great climber. It has a huge advantage. So what does the eagle do in order to still get prey? Negates that advantage. Not so much that. It negates that advantage. These goats pay careful attention for these eagles, wouldn't you? These goats are 120-130 pounds. So, now that eagle, while it looks very large, weighs maybe 60-80. Why? It has to fly. Flight takes a huge amount of energy, alright? It weighs much less. Its bone is much less dense than that of the goat.
In a fair fight, the goat wins every time. So what happens in predation? Cheat to win.
You don't fight the toughest. You don't fight the best. It is not survival of the fittest. It's survival of the one who gets the best advantage. Best advantage. The lion doesn't seek out the elephant and fight it, right? That would be survival of the fittest, right? There's Thunderdome. Throw the two biggest, baddest guys in, see what happens. Predators don't do that. Never. What do they go after? They go after the babies. They go after the sick. They go after the slow. They go after the hurt. Why? Because it's a huge problem otherwise. Those animals aren't sitting there going, hey, I'm waiting to be a prey item. Someone please eat me. Right? They don't walk around thinking that. They don't walk around doing that. When something goes after them, they fight it. They will fight it. They will trample it. They will do anything and everything to live. So as a predator, what do you have to do? You got to find another way. Most predators will not face off against their prey. There are plenty of pack animals. 60 to 70% of predators will not take on things larger than they are. Okay? It's just something they will not do. If you guys want to see the next part, it's like, I don't know, usually my rant goes a little longer.
Did you see the dolphin version? How is their,
Here's the last one. It just kind of throws it. Yeah, dolphins will, I do need to get a video of that, thank you.
Well, there's
I just had to search. And searching on YouTube is not something you put on.
That's how someone said one goes by.
Now, where's he taking this one?
To the port.
Back to his nest. Back to her nest, I should say. To feed the young. That goat, that mountain goat has died of shock. Almost immediately, what's coming off that cliff. It flies. It's actually thermal updrafts. I'll talk about flight in depth a little bit later when we're talking about evolution, because flight is just amazing that we can take advantage of it. And with those, with how the canyons sit, you get thermal updrafts with it. So it's not just the strength of the eagle keeping itself up, it's also the strength of the heated air coming up and rolling against the mountain. So, anyway, okay, we're going to bring it down because we're about out of that low percent. Okay, so we see now in the Florida coast, there's a section of bottlenose dolphins, right? What they're doing is they are chasing fish around. One will curve. I think I've just got to look it up. But what happens is one comes around and beats his tail against the bottom of the water. Okay, that makes mud. Fish are stupid. They see mud and they say, "Oh no, it's a wall." Okay. Now they think they're stuck in here. So little fish thinks he's stuck in here with big dolphin. I'm in trouble. I better jump out. Well, the dolphins are incredibly intelligent. So where's the whole other pack of dolphins? Hi,
we're right here.
So they just sit there with their mouths open. Fish fall in. There are bears and alligators who do similar behaviors, but they don't actually set up the behavior. These alligators and these crocodiles and these bears, they will sit at streams when they know that there's a spawning event happening, and they will just sit there with their mouths wide open and let the fish fly in. All right, let the food come in. Absolutely, you take easy meals where you can get them. If you're a giant predator, giant in our terms, we don't really have giant predators anymore. There used to be quite a bit. They pretty much went away when we showed up, surprise. But these larger predators, as we see them, like up to 500-pound predators, they take whatever meals they can get. If they can get an easy meal, they will take it. Absolutely. That's why they'll come and take your food if you're camping, right? That's why the bear will come in and eat your food. He won't mess with you if you don't mess with him. He'll just eat your food. You're like, "All right, thanks. Later." Right? Have a good one. Now, when you start messing with them, that's when there's a problem. Of course, if there's a bear eating your food, you should probably slowly walk away, get in your car, and drive off, right? Just because he is excessively larger than you.
Have you seen the movie called The Grizzly Man?
I have not seen the Grizzly Man.
This is this guy that lives out there, and he failed the actor, and this says that, "Oh, bears have to sleep in the penis." Yeah, and why do you sleep?
Yeah. I have heard of that individual. Yes, that was very unfortunate. You know, he's trying to promote a species, and then that species ends up taking his life. That's tough. Should he have been doing it? Probably not. Probably not. But, hey, we don't make our own decisions in life. All right? That's not what I would. I would not live with a large predator, regardless of how well that predator liked me. I would also not live with caged tigers, no matter how well they have been caged and under my care, or if I were a magician, right? You still get along. All right? They're predators. The other elephants will trample humans. I mean, and elephants are very, very sympathetic towards humans. Okay.
I'm pretty sure if my cat was large enough, he would also
Okay, so if cats will eat deceased humans, absolutely. If a dog may or may not, and that is on how the domesticated what breed, but pretty much all cats will. Pretty much all cats will. Once again, you're not there. They'll eat you. Anyway, competition. So we're going to move on, right? Everybody, animals take free meals where they can get them. Absolutely. There should be no judgment on that. That is just evolution. You take free meals where you can get them. You don't argue with it.
But there's some dogs that won't.
It matters on how loyal that dog is, how long it's been fed. Some, I would say with dogs, it's more based off the dog. With cats, it's pretty much universal. They will. It's fairly likely a dog is going. Fairly likely.
I don't know why.
But, yeah. Eventually. Although, it also matters how long the dog will wait before you start to begin. But this is all very, very dark, right? Sorry. Sorry, yeah.
Why can't we
eat
so much
dead?
Well,
a cat kill.
I don't know if that's... Huh?
Will a cat kill a person at the time?
I would strongly doubt it. Yeah, I would strongly doubt it. I don't think that horror movie will ever be made. Including maybe cats, right? Or birds, but
oh, it's possible.
Yeah, there's a horror movie with cats.
Anyway, competition. All right. That's when two species want the same resource. I want those fish. You want those fish. I'm going to get them. Okay? This is where when somebody's better at something, this is more what we're talking about when we say something along the lines of survival of the fittest. The one who's better at getting it is going to be more likely to survive. Survival of the fittest isn't a statement of two things fighting and the best one coming out on top. It's a statement more of two things competing, two people in tandem, okay? So think about it more like who's going to win the race, okay? Two people are racing, who's going to win the race? It's more that style, okay? The person, the species that's more fit, okay? And we'll talk about fitness. The species that is more likely to get more of the resource is more likely to survive, absolutely, okay? But survival of the fittest is not something we really use in biology, as a state. We have two different types of competition, interspecies and intraspecies, okay? Interspecific, intraspecific, okay? Interspecific means two members of the same species competing for resources, okay? This could be competing for mates. This could be competing for water. This could be competing for a similar food source, area, whatever, okay? Whatever. Intraspecific is when it's two separate species, okay? Humans versus bears for space, something like that, okay? That's intraspecific, okay? Most intense type of competition is intraspecific, okay? When it's the same species, you will fight harder. You will fight dirtier. You will go for more, okay? We see this in every animal. Think about it in humans, okay? If you're interested in someone of the opposite sex, and if somebody else you know is also interested in that member of the opposite sex, think about how far people will go to impress that member of the opposite sex. Quite far at times, alright? This is because you're sharing the same niche, okay? Same niche, okay? The same exact needs, the same location in the food web. You are sharing those specific things, okay? That niche is where you fit in. There's a little niche, right? There's a little niche that things fit in. Is that in general? Like when you're building something, whatever, it fits in a little niche. Every species fits in a little niche. They have this little niche where there's, I need this much of this food, this much water, this much space, this many reproductive attempts, yada, yada, yada. Okay? So on and so forth. That niche, okay, in interspecific competition, that you're never competing for sex. You're never competing for members of the opposite sex. You're never trying to compete for reproduction, okay? In intraspecific, there is that added. And people will, animals will, everything will go quite far, okay, in order to succeed. In fact, that's where we see a lot of our biological diversity, is because of intraspecific competition. Competition between males for females, competition between females for males, trying to impress, things like that. Forgot to get the bowerbird. Oh, I love the bowerbird. We see all sorts of competition. We see all sorts of physical, morphological changes, okay? Dimorphisms. Two different morphs for one species. Why would something be sexually dimorphic? Interspecies competition for the other group of me. Okay? Some way of competing, some way of showing I am a superior male or I am a superior female. Okay? Some way of deciding you're the one I want. Because you only want to reproduce. You only want to reproduce with strong genes. You want your children to succeed, okay? Whenever you reproduce, you want those children to get the strongest genes you can find, okay? So, you'll have species like the peacock,